move on to House Bill 1132. We have proponents of House Bill 1132 to establish a Children's Mental Health Task Force.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The story behind this legislation is multifold, and you'll hear people talking from their own vantage point as it relates to children's mental health issues, which I know this committee has dealt with in a number of aspects over the years. My story actually goes back many years relative to service involvement and actually great pride in all of the people that I know that are in mental health services, whether in schools, the Human Services Center, community mental health centers, even the Departments of Corrections, Education, etc. A couple of years ago, Secretary Oldenkamp in her prior life had asked me, along with Wanda Seiler, to sit on a task force that dealt with committals and how committal process worked and any way we could work with everybody in a task force to streamline that process. As a result of that, along with Representative Gary Hansen and others, legislation came out of that process that streamlined it. It also yielded a lot of camaraderie, in my estimation, and I think that's supported by some of the people that you will hear testify today. And the long story short is that it also resulted in other aspects of cooperation that don't rise to the legislative level. There are a number of things in the bill that I'm asking to your consideration for the creation of the task force that I wanted to highlight. Number one, obviously there's some pretty broad categories, and I believe you'll hear from department folks in terms of the support of it. Number two, we wanted legislative input, and therefore the E-Board, if so authorized under this board, would go ahead and appoint one senator and one representative, and then report back to us in a year, and so it would sunset. The economics of it will be minimal, and again, I'll defer to the department on that. A lot of people have volunteered and want to discuss some of these issues. I want to make it very clear. I think that we have some tremendous services in children's mental health services. There is a lot of anecdotal and epidemiological evidence out there that there are children that have diagnosed mental illnesses that actually pervade the population from 4 to 18 up to a 20% rate. A vast, vast majority, in fact, an overwhelming majority of these youth can receive care and treatment and obviously can go on and have productive lives. I said on the House floor that there isn't a time, I think, that all of us have one thing in common, and that we were children. And there wasn't a time that we didn't have an event in our life that took us off our mental stride. In my situation, one of my teachers was very supportive in a major crisis I had as a youth, and it's an individual that I'm still extremely close to. But I see that perpetuated in a lot of other environments, and my questions always come back to, how well do we coordinate? Do we have a good continuum of service? How is it paid for? And then the pinnacle that really caused me to introduce this legislation and to work with Senator Greenfield and the other proponents on this is I would like for you to picture yourself in a situation where you have a child who has some disorder. And I think probably the best way to approach this would be, say, a traumatic brain injury. And I have a personal experience with this, but a young child has a traumatic brain injury from an injury or some sort of disease process and goes through a number of machinations through the healthcare arena, through the educational arena, and through mental health care. And you get to the point where what you need to do is have some institutional care. But the family of this child rises above the level of Medicaid or CHIP support. And so you have probably one of the most divisive, if not tragic, conundrums. And here's what it is. I love my child, and I want my child to have care. But the only way that I can have this care is to allow the state to provide it under Medicaid and the other services, and therefore I must relinquish parental rights. I think that's abhorrent. I think it's a tragedy. It is a question for us to analyze as it relates to other care provided in other states. I do think we have some models of service here and continuums of cooperation, and you'll hear that again from the experts here. So I appreciate your obviously always thoughtful consideration of this legislation, and I think by its conservative nature, we would be able to bring back legislation as is necessary. A lot of it could be administrative rule, and even more could be continued cooperation among the providers that take care of this youth to assist them in the future. So I appreciate that, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Senator Staggers?
Is this task force, is it sunsetted anywhere, or just continues on? Or?
It would be just for a year. They would report back.
Oh.
And they would report back to the 78th legislature on line 6, Senator.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Could I add?
Yes.
It's not outside the realm of possibility that we would ask for it to be continued, but I doubt it. I think that I like short time frames.
Senator Staggers?
Maybe just clarify a little bit. You're saying that by giving a time when they are to give the report to the legislature, that means the same thing as
yes,
going out of existence.
It would extinguish. Okay. Yes, sir.
Further questions?
Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brock Greenfield. I'm here wearing two hats today. I am the Senate prime sponsor on this legislation, as well as a member of the board of directors at the Human Service Agency in Watertown, where they provide, where they serve those with mental health issues, adjustment training. They also have an adjustment training center and chemical dependency counseling under the same roof. We're unique in that sense. We have all three under the same roof. But speaking just from the mental health standpoint, South Dakota has made significant strides in the area of children's mental health. However, we recognize that there can still be some progress made. Our intention with this legislation is to identify any serious gaps in terms of mental health services and other essential services which are available to children and their families. There may be barriers which hamper timely access to services, which lead to inadequate treatment and fragmented care. And frankly, frankly, members of the committee, we want to be scrutinized. We want to have a committee established to specialize, to focus on these specific issues. Developing an effective continuum of children's services and a responsive system of care is a complex undertaking, as I'm sure we'd all recognize, and House Bill 1132 seeks to address these issues. I would stand by for any questions. I'm certainly here I recognizing full well that there are many more experts and many people more adequate than I to testify to this.
Questions from the committee? I have one. Since I know, Senator Greenfield, that you're on appropriations, and I know there must be at least a small amount of money in here, is that okay? I mean, is there a problem with funding this? Or
from an appropriator standpoint, it's my understanding that this is intended to be a volunteer-type committee. I would imagine that the Human Services Department would send people to these task to these committee meetings, and they may incur some expenses, and I would defer to them to answer that question further. But as far as compensating those members of the task force, to my knowledge, that's intended to be on a voluntary basis.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? If not, then are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Mental Health Centers. I just want to take a few minutes just to add my me too in support of this legislation. This is not legislation that's brought forward at the request of the Council of Mental Health Centers. The idea was surfaced to me by Representative Michaels, and by gosh, we just agree that it would be a good idea to take this focus area under study, recognizing that we represent part of the provider piece of this, and we expect quite fully that the services that we provide and offer are going to be scrutinized, and we welcome that. I also, as well as Representative Michaels, have had experience with task forces similar to this. I think it's really appropriate to get stakeholders together. That's a word that I'd choose to use also. They're not only stakeholders, but if you look at Section 2 of the bill, those are the spheres. those are the spheres of influence that are part of this issue. If you take a look at the handout that I just provided, it's just meant to illustrate the different places that referrals for mental health services come from in South Dakota to the mental health system. And as Senator Greenfield pointed out, it is extremely complicated to try to be effective in all of the spheres where children reside, where mental health issues arise, and where treatment modalities being available are really important. That complexity is one of the reasons I think it's appropriate to take a look at kids in particular. Another reason I think it's important to take a look at kids in particular is because it's very clear to me, I'm a lay rookie duck, is how I refer to myself. I'm not a mental health provider. I merged into behavioral health services after working with the Department of Health for 13 years. Some of you remember the days when I directed the communicable disease program, and I was a very staunch advocate for childhood immunization because it was so preventative in nature. One of the things that I have learned, that I've been taught, being an affiliate now with the mental health system, is that geez, it's important to diagnose these issues of children early on, before the chemical imbalances that are triggering these disease processes become hardwired, is how you can think of it. You actually can mitigate the severity of diagnosed diseases through early diagnosis and treatment. You actually can obviate certain adverse social outcomes, such as problems with the juvenile justice system, such as problems in school. And so, from a preventative focus, I think it's very appropriate to focus on children. And a third reason I think it's very important to focus on children is because I think that as we take a look at the adult services that are out there, a lot of time and study has gone into that piece of mental health, and I'm convinced that it may not be properly funded, but we do have a pretty good model of care out there that represents a fair continuum, everything from medication management for those adults that are have their illness under control and are living freely, all the way up to incrementally more supervised care, ending with impact programs, which are intensive outpatient care, up to the residential and hospitalization being a last resort. The second page of the handout that I gave you suggests a possible continuum of care for children. And just as I look at that, I know that there are areas that we could probably shore up. And one of the, you know, just one of the inevitable benefits of this legislation that I can see is that it takes this important issue during a period of anticipated transition, because we're on the cusp of an administration right now. This is, I think it's very important to put this on the legislative radar screen. I think it's very important that recognize that there's going to be change in some of the state agencies that are the stakeholders as part of this process, and to keep them engaged. And I think it's very important to challenge all of us to do a better job of serving children in South Dakota. Subject to your questions, that would be my testimony this morning, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? If not, then, are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Corey Nelson. I'm with the Department of Human Services. We are in support of this bill, obviously. And to answer your question of Senator Greenfield priorly about the cost of this, the department believes that we can incur this cost within our existing travel budget for any family members or other constituents required to travel to any meetings. And then other agencies that would be involved, including state agencies and private providers, would be able to and willing to do the same, since it is such an important issue. For the past 10 and a half years, I've worked with kids in South Dakota, both on the direct care level, program development, and through administration, and have come to recognize many of the issues brought up in this mental health task force bill. I've served on a state placement committee as well as the CHINS committee, which was created by this legislature in 2000. And that's one of those committees formed in response to the issues that Representative Michaels alluded to, in cases where families have to give up custody of their children, and those are very difficult cases. State agencies have gone a long ways in trying to identify those gaps, but recognize that there are gaps there. The Department of Human Services currently does enjoy a very good working relationship with all the community providers as well as the residential providers serving the mental health needs of the children of South Dakota, and we support the continued evaluation of those services as the needs of the children continue to change, and as the demographics of South Dakota continue to change and provide new challenges in the availability and the deliverability of the services. We're committed to identifying all the possible resources out there, and we support this task force as a way to continue our efforts and get all the input we can from constituents, including family members, about the service needs of the state. And with that, I will end.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? If not, thank you. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Susan Randall, representing the South Dakota Coalition for Children. I'd just like to express our support for the Children's Mental Health Task Force. And I'll be brief, but I'll mention a couple of things. At the Coalition office, we do get calls and have worked sometimes in some of our task force work with parents who have teenage children with mental health issues. And they often find their only course of action is to relinquish control of the child to the state. The state then, because the way the system is set up now, ends up often the judge orders them into the Department of Corrections. And this is a child who's broken no laws, done nothing wrong, but they have mental health issues. And it's just a tragic situation that parents are extremely distraught, and it has tragic consequences and stigma for the child. So we really think this task force is a prudent way to begin taking a look at all of how the system's working now and maybe different ways that this could be approached. We also know that this summer the Division of Mental Health instituted financial eligibility criteria that would be used in order to decide whether a child with a severe emotional disturbance would receive services that are state funded. And we think it's time, this would give us an opportunity in the task force context to look at what the ramifications of that have been, whether there are children being denied service because of the income eligibility requirements. And I also would like to applaud the focus on national best practices. So we urge your support.
Thank you. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Robert Keene with South Dakota Advocacy Services. Here very, very briefly just to add our yes to the effort and the support of the Children's Mental Health Task Force. It's very timely. It's needed. I'm particularly interested in the sub-3 of the elements to be studied, the efficacy of early identification and intervention. Much of what Mr. Dodge says is very true. The earlier you intervene, the earlier you design programs that address those issues, the better off it is for the child, better off it is for us as a society. I'm also very curious about the sub-5, the alternatives to relinquishing custody. We get calls in our office. There apparently is very little or virtually nothing parents can do, very few avenues they can choose other than giving up custody of their children. I think that the composition of the task force will capture the players, if you will, the roll call, the membership will consist of those people who are intimately involved with the delivery of this service in the state. So with that, in case if there's no further questions, I'll urge your support for this particular piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1132?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, other members of the committee. I'm Shelley Pfaff. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities. We are a statewide cross-disability coalition with members of all ages, all types of disabilities, and also various other advocates and organizations. I'll be very brief. We're fully in support of this bill. We would ask that you would seriously consider supporting it as well. The approach of a task force is ideal in terms of having a time-limited approach in order to look at the issues that exist, to look at some creative avenues of addressing those, and then to move forward in an area that truly is needed in terms of keeping up with the changing science related to mental illness and the new treatments that are existing out there and coming up. So with that, I thank you for your time and ask you to have favorable consideration of this bill.
Thank you so much. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1132? Seeing none, then, are there opponents to House Bill 1132? Opponents to House Bill 1132. Seeing none, we'll close the committee discussion and or action. Senator McIntyre.
I think the testimony was compelling. I applaud the
prime sponsor for bringing it forward. I would move DuPass.
Moved McIntyre. Second Ham. DuPass on House Bill 1132. Those in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. The clerk will call a roll.
Petrie?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Beggars?
Aye. Very well. We will send House Bill 1132 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that this needs discussion on the floor. I would move consent.
I don't want to disagree with you, but I think it needs to be talked about on the floor.
I would concur, Mr. Chairman, especially when you see who has got to carry it on the floor.
That's right.